And welcome back to Coast. Our medium is with us, George Anderson. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. All right, we're going to take your calls this hour, and we're going to do it a little differently than we normally take calls on the program. Let me tell you what we're going to do. One, if you just have a general question about the other side, mediums, just give us the, you know, give us the question, and George will give you the answer the best he can, and Tom will flag it for me on my screen here, so I'll know that. If you want a reading from George, all I'm going to do is tell him your name and where you are. You do not have to ask him a question. He's just going to run with the ball there, and we'll go from there. So we'll get back to George and your questions when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Anderson with us. We'll get to your calls. And again, George, did we describe that right? They can ask you if they want to talk about mediumship and the other side. That's just a question. But if they want a reading from you, all you need is their name and where they're from, and that's it.
Well, actually, wouldn't even need that. All you could just tell me that they're looking for a reading, and I would just have them say hello. And leave it at that.
That's all you need. You don't even need their name.
Yeah, because I usually have a strict rule. I don't want people to volunteer any type of information.
Okay, and then keep it to about a minute, 2 minutes a caller, if you could.
Yeah, as much as I can.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I ask this of mediums and psychics. When you see things about a person, are they things that will be or could be?
Good question. I'd have to say, again, no matter what, we always have free will. Something, for example, I remember years ago, my brother-in-law, may he rest in peace, he had passed away, and his son was a few months from getting married, and the relationship was stormy to begin with. And my brother-in-law came to me and said, you know, tell him if he gets married, he's walking into a disaster. That's very promising. And he said, you know, basically try to encourage him to second guess it. And, of course, my nephew, of his own free will, went ahead and got married and did, you know, as he pleased. And naturally, he walked into a disaster.
Yep.
If they're really confident that you're in a mess or could be bringing yourself into a mess, they may help you to help yourself to change course. But, again, you're always in the driver's seat. It still is up to you what you decide to do. And one story I wanted to share with you very quickly as
sure.
We were on the break, because I told you the one cat came into me and she's looking at me like, what the hell are you doing up? And when my one cat had passed away, I had said to myself, I'm not going to, you know, go to the shelters and adopt again, because it's so heartbreaking when you have them here.
Oh, my God, it's like
so
family.
Long, and then they pass away, or you have to make the decision. But a friend of mine talked me into it, so one Sunday I had gone to different shelters in the area, and I just didn't feel anything clicked. And the last shelter I had gone to, and I emphasized I was here for a cat, not a kitten, and I had gone into where they keep the cats, and all of a sudden in front of me, this adorable little apricot and white cat comes walking toward me, our eyes locked, she stopped in her tracks, I stopped in my tracks. And I heard a voice in my heart say, oh, my gosh, it's so nice to see you again.
I love it. Isn't that like meeting your own soulmate?
Yeah, because actually, interesting, you should bring that up. I used to think soulmates were only people in connections with romantic involvement.
Right.
A soulmate can be a pet, your mom, a husband, a friend. You can have more than one soulmate. And, well, naturally, she went home with me that day. And I found out later on that people kept adopting her, like in the foster program. And I couldn't understand why they kept bringing her back. But I'm glad that they did, because I got to get her.
I was talking to a couple of years ago who got a divorce. They're still friends. And they were convinced they were soulmates, and they were puzzled that they got a divorce, and hence they said they're not soulmates. That's not necessarily the case either, is it?
No, I wouldn't think so, because they can still be soulmates. You were supposed to be in that situation that you were in for that time. And when that experience has run its course, you move on. You don't want to beat a dead horse. If you're both supposed to move on, you will move on. And if you can stay in harmony with each other, that's great. If you can't, you move on and hope for better luck next time.
Exactly. Now, with your permission, I'd like to still use their name and city, because we've got so many callers, George, they won't know that they're the one on the air. So
no,
I have
okay.
They have to know it's them. So we'll do
okay.
That. And by the looks of things, that's what everybody wants, a reading. It's amazing.
I'm so surprised.
It happens all the time. Are you doing any more television?
I haven't been on in a while. I've kind of distanced, with media a bit, because sometimes there's so much of it out there and everybody is inclined to think it's all the same, or you work like this person does and such, and it's not the case. And sometimes some of the things that come through from their loved ones, if it's very intense, if on this a particular TV show the atmosphere is supposed to be light and gay,
yeah,
they're not happy that you're coming up with so many privacies of this person's life, or the laundry's being hung out. And and I always tell people, never be afraid, because they're not going to do anything that's going to embarrass you or make you feel foolish. So when I do public seminars, I'll say to people, look, if you're having an affair, they're not going to out you. So just, I may get the feeling of something, but yes, I'll be smart enough to keep my trap shut.
You got it. Let's take some calls. So we're going to go to Diana in Manhattan, New York. Simple as that. Just say hi. Diana, and it'll take it away.
Hi. Okay. So let's begin quickly. Well, immediately a male presence comes forward. Actually, and two females as well. All I ask you to do is say that you understand.
But I totally understand.
I was going to say, assuming this is somebody connected with you naturally, said the same thing to me, I'd say I understand. But it's a male and two females as well. Now, the male does come in a father manner, understood?
Totally.
Yes, and actually there's another one now coming. Oh, no, one state to you is your dad, yes?
Yes.
The real McCoy, that's what I'm looking for. He came in a fatherly manner, but I can go several different ways with that, so that's why I want it clearly understood. Comes as your dad. He does speak of his folks being with him, so I assume they've probably passed also.
Yes.
And does draw close to you from over there, and many times admits being around you very much, like as a guardian angel. Now, don't read between the lines, but he does feel in some ways he could have been closer. Understood?
Totally, yes.
He's not going to hang your laundry out, but he wants to make sure that you know that he understands that, yes, that he could have been closer. I'm not saying he was Adolf Hitler, but wants to make sure you know he always loved you and still does.
Well, that's good.
And wants to let you know that he is around you at times, like as a guardian angel. He also brought up the talk of loss of a brother. But
I do not. I'm an only child. No.
No. He didn't say to you.
His brother, right?
He brought it up with himself that there was somebody over there coming as a brother, but then stated to you, in essence, they'd be an uncle. So yes. I'm assuming maybe one of your parents lost a brother or a brother-in-law, or I'd have to go into the grandparents' time. It may be
He had many brothers.
I'm sorry?
He had many brothers. My father had many
brothers. At least one of them must be showing up. I don't know which one, but I felt...
They're all dead now.
Yeah, I felt one coming forward as that he would be your uncle. That's why when you said you were an only child, I said, no, they're not finished. They're saying, you know, their brother passed on but would be an uncle to you. So if he had many, let me just say one of them showed up in any case. There is also, I don't know what's going on, and don't help me, but he does talk about, he does bring your mom up, understood?
I'm sorry, something about my mother?
Yeah, your father brings your mother up. Don't help me at all.
Okay.
Because I don't know, he's bringing her up, but he's not giving me the feeling if she's there or here, and you can't tell me. It would be up to him, but he does bring her up. Now, I know you know what he's talking about, but I don't. So I'll just state what was said and leave it with you. One thing, he's not coming across as complaining, but your father admits he didn't have the easiest time here on the earth. Not that he had a, you know, horrible life, but
he was working class Catholic, like all of us.
Yeah, right. It was not easy. And, you know, does admit to me many times he wasn't, you know, necessarily the happiest person on the earth, that the grass could look greener in the other guy's yard.
And we'll put this time limit on this, George, okay?
Okay, yeah.
But in
any case, glad to have reached out to you and hopes, you know, he always loved you and still does, because he does bring up, you might feel, in a sense, like he kind of abandoned you but didn't. But the thing is, you know, there's other people coming around, and I know we're limited, so I can't get into it. So I'll say, you know, he reaches out with the other individuals that are there.
When you're in this state, George, how are they coming to you? How do you feel this? Is it like telepathy? What's going on?
It's mostly feeling, I would say, in my case. Sometimes you do see them out of the corner of your eye. But you get their essence, their feeling from over there. And, you know, sometimes you can hear them. Sometimes, you know, I can argue with them in my head. It all depends on the individual, but they probably have a hunch from hearing us say, you know, we're kind of limited here time-wise.
Yes.
Because just as someone came through and stated they were the brother that passed, but because they kind of had a fit when she interrupted, I said, no, he's saying he's your uncle. You know, we're building up to that. But I felt somebody else coming through right after that. I'm like, you know, whoever you are, I'm going to have to shut you down. You know, I'm just going to have to keep going because we want to keep moving on. And because one person did come through with a name, but they didn't give me any evidence right away as to how they might have connected with her, if she recalls them.
Do they seem to be anxious to get to you, to talk to you, those on the other side?
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves to be remembered and recognized. That's why I tell people, you know, you can't remember I couldn't do it either. You can't remember everybody in 5 seconds.
No.
So a name can come through and people are like, no, I have no idea who that is, or they don't remember. And I just leave it with them. And then they'll find out later on that it was accurate. And there's nothing wrong with that. I couldn't do it either. You know, it's, you know, when I'm doing these in person or over the phone, you know, I have time. I can take my time.
Oh, absolutely. I'm pushing you like crazy.
Carefully and, you know, go with the flow. But when you do it for media, whether it be radio or TV, you know, we have the time restriction.
It's a time restriction. All right, next up, Ed wants a reading from Colorado. Ed, say hello.
Hey, George, hey, hello. I just want to say, first off, you are my nighttime comfort, and I just love your program, and thank you for being there.
Thank you, Ed. We'll always be here for you. Go ahead, George.
Wonderful. Okay, let me see who shows up, comes to visit. With you.
Yeah.
A female presence comes forward. Actually, two. It's another one with her. Understood?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it has to be somebody, so I'm just trying to get you to say yes so they hear your voice. Yeah. One, now let her explain. Don't misunderstand. One does come to you in a motherly manner. Understood?
Yeah.
Actually, two do. One states, though, she is your mom. Understood?
Okay.
The actual, your real, you know, the real McCoy.
All right.
But
yeah.
About her mother being with her as well. So I take it your grandmother's passed also.
Yeah.
Now, with them, I don't know what they're doing. Don't help me. With them, they're talking about a younger male.
Yeah.
Now, in my personal opinion, nowadays, anybody who passes on less than 70, I consider that young by today's standards.
Sure.
I croak at 66. Believe me, I'm going to feel I passed young. But they talked about a younger male being with them. You might have to go back a little bit, you know, not like the 1800, but in family, they are talking about something about a son that passed. But
yeah.
I'll leave it with you. Somebody, without giving me any information, somebody at one point must have lost a son.
Yeah.
That happened, Ed?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, because they keep pushing it at me, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but I'm saying, all right, you know, I'm trying to go as fast as I can. And
you're doing fine, George. You're doing
so
fine.
So your mom coming in with the grandmother and this younger male, and I assume, don't say who he is, and I assume, you know, he's connected to you somehow. Because he does come to his family, even though they use that term very lightly. They can mean by blood marriage or term of endearment. But in any case, he states he's there with the two ladies. And the key is that he keeps coming to me as the son that passed and that he passed on what I would consider young by today's standards. I don't know if he's kidding around with me or not, but he claims he was younger than me when he passed on.
Interesting. George, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Joshua P. Warren joins me to talk about some of his work in the supernatural. Then we'll have those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. And welcome back to Coast, George Anderson with us. Our final segment here as we talk about the other side. George, these, I guess, spirits, that's what I'm going to call them, when they contact you when the individual is on, what do they want? Do they just want them to know they're there, or, you know, is there a purpose for them?
Well, it can, excuse me, depend on the circumstances. For example, the young lady that was the first subject, her dad admitting he felt he could have been closer emotionally when he was here and just wanted to make sure that she knows he always loved her and still does. And, you know, they do come assuming you know what they're talking about. And that's why you know, I try to move as quickly as I can. And then with the gentleman that was on, I was actually thinking on the commercial break, I wonder where that sun connection was going, but he seemed to know what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as he gets it, I'm happy and they're happy. But, you know, we can go deeper into things, you know, if we have more time. That's, you know, the only problem.
Sure, absolutely.
But at least your commercials gave me a chance to go to the bathroom.
You have looked at the possibilities of what happens when one commits suicide. Tell us about that.
Well, that I'm extremely sensitive about for people who have lost a loved one through suicide. First of all, I use the word suicide reluctantly because I'm sure most people with common sense would agree with me that the individual is not in the right frame of mind.
Correct.
If they're suffering with constant depression and anxiety, those are illnesses. And can they kill you? You damn right they can. And so that's why the souls in the hereafter. Now, no, so don't read between the lines, I tell people. Nobody's encouraging anybody to take their own life. But for some people, if it does happen in despair or anguish, over there, they do, again, try to administer to them with gentleness and reasoning, again, to help them to help themselves.
So they're not banned for eternal damnation.
Oh, no, no, I don't believe that at all. As a matter of fact, it's very comforting. Many of the people that come through that have taken their own life admit, once again, animals came first, because what do? They instantly put you at ease. You don't feel any type of threat. They're very, very therapeutic. And it's good that here on the earth we're starting to realize that, that animals can be used for proper therapeutic purposes, you know, to comfort people here on the earth, especially if you're not in the best frame of mind. You know, the cat and the dog, they tell no tales.
So true. Let's go to our next reading. Next reading is Darcy in Ogden, Utah. Darcy, say hello to George Anderson. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Very welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Okay, let me...
Now we'll put you to work, George.
See who comes to visit. I hope they hurry up. I'm trying to think of where do I begin with this. A male presence does come forward, and I'm sure somebody like that close to you has passed. But younger. Makes sense?
Male presence younger. Darcy?
Are you asking me? Sorry, what was the question?
Yeah, it's. Let me start over again. A male presence comes forward, but I do get a young feeling with him. Now, before you think anything, let me just say that can mean young by age, less than 70. That can mean young in disposition, but certainly comes through. Now, I will be honest with you. He does reach out as family, but I don't think he's blood kin. There's more of a feeling of term of endearment family from him. So that might be somebody you might have to think about from your past. There's also talk of loss of a sister. Understood?
Yes.
Okay, because now, wait a minute. See, the problem is she said sister, but she didn't give me a lead. So just bear with me as I quickly hope she does. Actually does come as an actual sister, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, yours.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Because someone was waiting for. She, whoever she is, God bless her, because she said, you know, she knows I'm under pressure. But she came close to you. She did bring up family. I'm sure you still have family here on the earth. She obviously did pass young by today's standards, but she embraces you with love as your actual sister and friend. Because she comes to you in friendship as well. Just because somebody's family, they doesn't mean they have to be friends. She does, you know, she's not endorsing religion, but she does thank you that you do pray for her in your own way. Understood?
Yes.
Would certainly ask that it please continue, that it embraces her with your love, and this way you can still feel you can do for her. Definitely from over there, she draws very close to you from over there. So I'm assuming you had a nice relationship for the time that she was here. And
I actually didn't know her.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you're reading my mind, because I was going to say, it doesn't seem, it seems her closeness is more from over there than here.
Mm-hmm.
So that would tell me you probably really didn't know her, but she knows you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's just, you know, that she's in a different place, in a different form, but yet still connected with you. She does bring up you've been going through a bit of a rocky time, understood?
All right, George, let's move on to some others, okay?
Yes,
okay. The clock's going to get us. Sorry to put a time limit on you on all these, but I know that you like
we
to spend more time.
Can.
Yep, absolutely. Now, when these entities come through, though, do they want more than just letting her know we're here?
Well, again, it would depend on the circumstances. What pleased me about when all of a sudden out of nowhere I felt her pop into the room here, and she said she was her sister that passed on. And, you know, I'm wondering, is it a sister? Sister, I'm trying to think quickly in what connection. She said, no, I'm an actual sister. And even though she was giving me more emphasis from over there, that's when I was just about ready to say, I get the impression you really didn't know each other very well, but you more so know of her. And of course that turned out where she said she passed on very young, where she never really knew her. But I said, it doesn't mean that they don't know you.
You've been tested a lot scientifically. Tell me the things they've done to you and what were they looking for?
Well, I think definitely I've been told the ability works off the brain, and that evidence, that was the, for me, that was the most impressive experiment, because it actually showed on that graph or diagram that something goes on with the brain and then goes back to normal when I say they're pulling back from me. Because they admit to me from over there, they can only hold on for so long, because I try to space the appointments out in case I do happen to go overtime. I don't want people to think that, you know, we'll say the session could last approximately an hour. Most of the time it goes over because, you know, I just can't say, okay, you know, the time's up, goodbye, you know, that I prefer them to make the withdrawal. But the I've been really hoping in the near future, there's been some possibilities at times about finding somebody who really is, their expertise would be with the human brain, where they could conduct experiment, you know, while I'm working to, you know, see if something's more noticeable. There was another doctor I had gone to years ago who I guess he was a neurologist or something. But, you know, you didn't have to be too smart to figure it out that he had already made up his mind that nothing's going to happen. You could just tell. You didn't have to be too psychic to figure it out. And sure enough, he claimed he saw no changes whatsoever. And I'm like, well, but, you know, I could tell that that's what the outcome was going to be. Because I thought to myself, how could this other neurologist who really worked well with me and was not gullible, but certainly kept an open mind. And this man, it's like, you know, there's the right way, the wrong way, and then there's my way, and that's the way it is. So I didn't put much faith in him. But definitely would love to find somebody who'd really want to give that brain a good examination.
Well, you know, scientists just came out with a report a couple weeks ago, George, that said that when you physically die, the brain is still alive for a little bit.
Yeah.
And you actually can realize without moving, you're dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Before whatever happens.
You know, so to me, like, the spirit of the soul, the consciousness, the essence of us, obviously is most predominant in the brain. But I do think the heart gets involved also because that's the emotional center, and that's where you'll feel, you know, that coming, things of that nature coming through. Like when the young lady's sister came through, even though they really didn't know each other, she still reached out very closely in friendship. It doesn't alter the fact that it's still your sister, whether you knew her or not. Like,
exactly.
I knew my grandparents, but I know they know me.
Let's take one more call. I'll jump in when we get close to the end here, George. Let's go to Julie in the Bronx. Julie, say hello.
Hello.
There you go, George.
Night owls, my goodness. Okay. Well, with you, immediately a female presence comes forward, and I'm sure it's somebody, you know, that has to be, that comes through to you. Understood?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just, again, I'm pushing you to say yes so they hear your voice.
Yes.
You know, they hooked in. Okay, I got to be careful, she's telling me. She does come in a mother manner, understood?
Yes.
Wait a minute, there's two of them, though. Oh, wait, one state she is your mom, yes?
Say that again?
One state she is your mom.
But my mom, she's still alive.
Why is she stating she is your mom? Well, that could be mother, could be mother-in-law.
Grandmother?
Well, that would be my next assumption. She's coming to it in a very strong motherly manner. And
okay.
She did push mom so strongly out at me that I'm assuming she's your mom. But,
okay.
You know, it's not a perfect science. I can make a mistake.
Oh.
So possibly a grandmother, but on the maternal side.
Okay.
And it does seem grandmothers that have passed, but one you might have known better.
Right.
There's also somebody over there, without telling me, who claims she has the same name as you do. So there may be somebody, I can't remember what they said your name was, Julie or Julie.
Julie,
or something like that. But somebody else claiming the name. So it may be something, you know, I'm getting more like Julia that comes forward. There's also talk of a younger male, understood?
And the clock has got us now, George. But I want to thank you for being on the program. Good luck with the book, Life Beyond Between Heaven and Earth. What's next for you?
Betty, bye.
That's fair enough. Okay, my friend, thank you. We'll get your website out. There's a link at coasttocoastam.com. And folks, on our next Coast to Coast program, Joshua P. Warren joins us with some very strange things. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.